Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Any danger of a trap here tonight, or not this team?
I don't think so, but division opponent, there's always a little bit that could have come up. But I just think this team is hot, and I think it benefits the Patriots not having a full week to practice compared to the Jets. They have a lot of moving parts. They got Garrett Wilson's out. You kind of want to switch to Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, but you're not going to get to practice. Like, I think that all favors New England tonight.
Time now for the Christian Arcand Show.
Yo, it's all over again.
On WEEI.
Good evening. Welcome in. It's the Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. We are live in our Brighton studios. We are powered by Verizon. We are Boston Sports Original. And tonight we're here with you for
84 years.
Just about 2 hours of pregame. So get you ready for the Patriots and the New York Jets gangrene in Foxborough tonight. A cold, cold Thursday night here in the Commonwealth and a cold Thursday night down in Foxborough. A lot of predictions being made on this game today. We will get to all of them. We'll get our thoughts on it, our predictions as well, later on in the next hour. And joining me in studio, of course, is the great John Lyons, who is wearing his frosty blues right now. What's up, Lyons? How we doing?
Arcand, it is a pleasure, man.
It's good to have you in, and glad that you're here for this because, number one, I wanted to talk with you about the game that we watched last Sunday. Not that we watched it together, but the game that we all watched on Sunday with the Bucks. And we have to get to everything that I think is being overlooked in this matchup here tonight. Not that I think this is going to be a particularly great game. I think you're probably looking at a bit of a clunker here on both sides. I think the Patriots could end up taking not a massive step back. I'm not predicting a loss, but I think that when you look at the Jets and you look at their record, you expect a team that just can't do anything. And the Jets, they only lost to Pittsburgh by 2 points. They only lost to Tampa by 2 points. A 2-point loss to the Denver Broncos. Now, you know, they didn't give you great games in a lot of those, but they aren't getting blown out that much, really. I mean, this isn't a team. The Bills blew them out in week two, and the Cowboys won by 2 scores in week 5 or 6, I forget. But other than that, they kind of keep it close. And now, this is also a team that just blew up their defense. It's a team that is in a complete rebuild only 3 years after having the offensive and defensive rookies of the year, which I want to talk about as well. I got into that a lot last night. But even despite all of that, they've won 2 in a row. And the games that they've lost, by and large, are not these blowouts. And yet, everywhere I look, I'm seeing the Patriots by 2-3 scores.
It's interesting, too, because you mentioned the close losses the Jets have had. Remember the London game against Denver, how they totally botched the end of the first half? They might have won that game against Denver if they don't botch the first half. And look, I think this game, to me, though, Arcand, it's more about the Patriots than anything else. The afternoon show talked about this, and they were right. And that the Jets are not good. They have really bad quarterback play. And they just traded away arguably their two best players in Sauce Gardner and Quinnen Williams. So I know Sauce Gardner's been inconsistent at times in his career, but still probably one of their best players.
It's tough to make an argument he's been one of their best players lately. I mean,
yeah, exactly. So I think most talented in that neighborhood. And even Quinnen Williams, since that great season in 2023, has declined a little bit. But still,
their other best player just went on IR, too. So
right. You look at the, like, how have they kept some of these games close? You look at their game last week that they won. They had a kickoff return touchdown and a punt return touchdown on back-to-back possessions, right? They're top six in the NFL in punt return and kick return average, so they're pretty good on special teams, at least from a return game perspective. Breece Hall did have the 40-yard screen pass touchdown last week. So I think it, like, when I think of how the Jets have kept this close, it leads me to the Patriots are better, and are the Patriots going to be fully dialed in on a Thursday night game against a team they're better than? Because you go back to the last time the Patriots had a great win was Sunday night against Buffalo last month, and I thought it was just as important that they followed it up by winning the next week and the week after that. Because how many times, Arcan, in the last 2, 3, 4 years have we seen them have a great win and follow it with 2 or 3 losses?
Well, in the last 2 years, you haven't seen too many
great
wins.
But even last year, week one against Cincinnati, nice win on the road. They followed it by losing like 85 games in a row.
That's right.
And a couple of years, 2023, they beat the Bills at home and then followed it by losing. So they've done that time and again. So they followed that Buffalo game with a couple wins, obviously more than that, but immediately after it. Now you had another great win down in Tampa. Can you follow it with a win after that and then a win after that? Like, to me, that's the mark of a good team. It's, can you follow success? Not just, can, hey, anybody can win one game. Can you follow it?
Sure. Now, doing that, what you just sort of said, beating Buffalo and then going off and reeling off those wins against the Saints, Titans, and Browns, one of which I would say was a great win. I thought that win over Cleveland was a great win. I consider that. They're not a great team,
that
but that's
great
a great
defense
and they had their way with them in the third quarter. I thought that was a great win. Tennessee win, that was perfectly fine. I didn't think there was anything special about it. Saints, they kind of squeaked by the Saints, you know, and that was one of those where you're like, okay, you know, they won, so you can't say it didn't legitimize that Buffalo game, but they got better. Like, they continued to get better. They've continued to improve, and I think that culminated a little bit in that Tampa Bay game because Atlanta gave them everything they could handle. Yeah. Atlanta and Drake London and, you know, Robinson and those guys, the defense, like, they made it tough for the Patriots. They made it tough on Drake May. They made it tough on the secondary. It's, I don't want to say they exposed some kind of blueprint to beat them, but it was about as worried as I was for them to lose a game since the Buffalo game.
Yep.
And then Tampa, I mean, the way that game went was, I mean, it was fun, right? Like, that was a fun game. There was a lot of sort of fun stuff that happened, certainly at the end. But that was another one where Tampa had the ball driving with a chance to take the lead, and the Patriots were able to, you know, do what they did. All in all, it has been, and I agree with you, I do think legitimizing wins like that is important. But if there's ever going to be a letdown for this team, this is the place where it would be, right? I mean, it's a short week. It's a division game. It's nasty weather out there. It's a team that, while they're not good or anything, they're not exactly these pushovers who just get their ass kicked every night. You know, like, that's sort of where I'm at with this matchup. What did you take away also from the Tampa game? From
to
that
me,
win?
That game and kind of the reverse of the Atlanta game, all about the end of the first half, beginning of the second half. I think it was the best they managed the end of a first half, beginning of a second half, in at least the last 2 or 3 years. You think about it, they chew up over 7 minutes of clock, all the remaining 7:16 of clock, score a touchdown to end the first half, come out, score a touchdown immediately to open the second half. I mean, Tampa Bay had a 10-7 lead. The next time Baker Mayfield touched the ball, they were down 21-7. And you just look at the Atlanta game, was kind of the reverse. Patriots are up 21-7 with the ball, strip sack, fumble. Next thing you know, they're hanging on to win 24-23. That's, to me, that Tampa game, I was so impressed by that end of first half, early second half. And I know they had to hang on near the end. I get it. Mm-hmm. But if May doesn't throw that interception in the end zone, maybe it's not that close at the end. And to their credit, right, Craig Woodson had a nice pass breakup. They ended up winning the close game. I give them credit. But to me, that game was about the end of the first half, early second half. That was the separator there.
Yeah, and they've done that. I mean, that was a great example.
They've been much better this year. Last year, they were awful at the end of the first half. I think the worst thing about last year's team was their end, because that was when everything bad about them came together, like the bad coaching, the bad execution, the stupid
clock
mistake,
management, all of that,
everything
stuff,
that all came together at the end of the first half last year. I mean, how many games were they out of it by the second half at that point? This year, they've been much better overall, and I think that Tampa game was the best they've been
at. Yeah, absolutely.
This team is DTF, Jim.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah, I thought in the Cleveland game, too, when they drove down and got that field goal to take the lead, and then they came back and had the Hunter Henry drive, I thought that was a nice example of that, and then they just went on to dominate Cleveland that whole third quarter. But yeah, that, I feel like, and Vrabel's obviously a huge part of it, Josh McDaniels as well. you have a coaching staff now that is handling that all very well. And when you look at Vrabel and those sort of double score opportunities that they get when they defer, it's not just that. I mean, that's part of it. And it's not even just the motivational stuff either. It's strategy. It's challenges that he uses. It's all sorts of clock management towards the end of the game, all over the place. And you know, you miss it when you don't have it, but like...
How about giving up first and goal?
Yeah.
Like that, think about it. If the Patriots don't score there and they don't win that game, what would you have been talking about on your show the
last 3 nights? I'd still be talking about it now.
Exactly, yeah. Right? And even if they just had kicked a field goal there, let's say they, you know, get stopped on second and third and goal, decide, hey, we're going to kick a field goal, and they lose a game, you know, 28-27 or 24-23, something like... That's what we're going to be... Like, that was a gutsy call, and it was, to me, that showed trust in May, in McDaniels, in Stephon Diggs as well, in the offensive line. That, to me, was a level of trust Vrabel has that I don't know if you've seen a head coach have that in his team here in a little while.
Yeah, and I didn't love the 2 play calls right after that. Those were kind of, okay, well, you're not really getting anywhere running the ball. And then a goal line fade. I mean, thank God for Steph Diggs going up and getting
that. That was an A-plus catch.
It really was. And, you know, it was funny. I was talking about, like, who runs the goal line fade anymore? Teddy was talking about it yesterday. Drake London and the Falcons did a goal line fade.
Yeah,
and
it helps it when it's Marcus Jones or a Drake London.
Right,
no offense to Marcus Jones.
Comes up to his waist.
There's a foot height difference there.
Yeah. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Certainly. But, yeah, that was gutsy for sure, and it worked. And it seems like everything's working. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like everything that Mike Vrabel's calling is working. It seems like, for the most part, Drake May's making, you know, the occasional mistake. But for the most part, he's out there executing when he needs to. They're not missing a lot of tricks here. They're not having a lot of bad bounces and things just not go their way. And I know sometimes you can't control that, but sometimes you make your own luck too, right?
And I would agree, and I think this is the line now where we have to be careful, right, as Patriots fans, because you're right. Pretty much everything they've done the last 7 weeks has worked, and it's worked well. But you just look at, you know, this Tampa game. They had 3 touchdowns of over 50 yards, and they were awesome. I jumped off my couch for them. You can't rely on scoring 3 touchdowns over 50 yards every week,
just
right?
Like the Jets can't rely on returns.
Exactly,
you can't rely
right.
on that, yeah.
So they did have a lot of runs for no gain or negative plays. They've thrown an interception 3 straight weeks, and it hasn't hurt them yet, but that's been, to me, the best thing about Drake May this year. It's not the deep ball. It's not all this other stuff. He's limited his turnovers this year. Like, it's not a coincidence. The first 4 games of that winning streak, he threw 0 picks. 5 out of their 8 wins, he's had 0 picks. Not a coincidence. So they just got to be careful. Like, something like that. Drake May throws an interception tonight. I don't think they'd lose to the Jets. He throws an interception against the Cincinnati team that offense scores 38 points a game, or an interception against that Baltimore team that might have figured it out. That's when it can catch up with you. So that's why, to me, like, what I want to see tonight more than anything else, can they play a clean offensive game? Short week, division opponent. Can they just not turn the ball over, not have a bunch of negative plays? And sure, can they have a 50-yard touchdown? That'll be great. I'll give you a high five, Arcan. But can they also have a 2 or 3 drives that are 8-10 plays and march down the field? Because even the long drive they had, the 7-minute drive against Tampa, mm-hmm. there were 2 false start penalties on that drive.
Right.
Like, can they? And it didn't hurt them, but can they have a clean drive all the way? Because that's the type of thing, tangible thing to take away you can look at moving forward.
Sure, and I agree with you, and I think that there's definitely room for that in the conversation. The only thing is, like, you look at the defense on the first series, right? They always give up these touchdowns.
7 out of 10 games,
who they're playing against. They give up points every single time.
5 touchdowns out of the 7.
And against Tennessee and against, you know, Cleveland and against these trash bag teams, you're like, well, if you do that against the good teams, you're not going to be able to get away with it. And the same thing happened with the Bucs. Ibuka got loose in the zone, and they scored a touchdown on the first drive, and they got away with it, and they won the game. And that was against Tampa Bay. That's not against some cream puff. So I'm starting to wonder when any kind of reckoning's ever going to happen for some of these things, which, again, shouldn't be something that sinks you as a team, but have to rear its head at some point in some of these games.
Yeah, and I look at, not so much tonight, but if you get down 14-3 to Cincinnati, and look, that defense is awful.
Right.
Maybe the worst defense in the NFL. But again, they score 38 points every week. You get down 14, like, or Baltimore, and I know Baltimore's got a losing record. The last few weeks, they've looked like that team people think can go to the Super Bowl. They figured it out. You get down 14-3 or 10-0 to Baltimore, or even the next time you play Buffalo, like, then you're in an uphill. I'm not saying you can't win those games, but then you're in an uphill battle, right? And I think a lot of people have compared this team, Arcan, to 2001. I look a little bit more at 2010, and that was a team that went 14-2. They blew out a lot of teams,
yeah.
Blew out a lot of bad teams. But then against the Jets in the divisional round of the playoff, they basically had 10 bad minutes, and they were down 14-3 at halftime, and they didn't recover, and they lost the game. And, of course, that team, that was Brady maybe at his peak. I know it's not the same, but they were relying on a lot of young players too. Devin McCourty's rookie year, Gronk's rookie year, another tight end's rookie year who we don't need to name. But this team is also relying on a ton of young guys, ton of new guys. So I compare it more to that than I would like, oh, what? And that we saw it finally catch up with them, just not till January.
Yeah, 2001 team, I agree. I mean, that was...
That's a Hall of Famers. I feel like that's an insult to the... And nothing against... And I love this year's Patriots team. That 01 team had Hall of Famers all over the place.
Yeah, like, they seriously. Certainly did. And that's, you know, you maybe didn't think so, or you didn't know it at the time.
We didn't know it at the time.
Right? We thought this was sort of an underachieving group who, you know, letting down their quarterback and all of that, and who's this new coach, and they don't seem like they're any better, and they won a couple of games. Like, I very clearly remember, like, most of that season.
And just sort of the thing,
right? Yeah, it was until you really saw them, and they did go, they did win a bunch of games, but until they won that Raiders game, I don't know that a lot of people really believed that that was a possibility. Like, I think more people believe that about this team than they did about that team at this point in the season. I mean, I know it's a different record. But
and
like,
plus, I will say, too, that core group, a lot of those guys were on the Super Bowl team in 96.
Right.
Yeah, so those guys had at least shown a little bit more than this core group.
Yeah, no question about that. The Patriots taking on the Jets tonight. We do have some thoughts on the New York Jets, a team that is in another rebuild. After what seemed like the start of a very successful rebuild just a couple of years ago, they had that terrible draft with Zach Wilson. They followed that up by drafting the offensive and defensive rookies of the year in the same season, 3 first-round picks, Breece Hall in the second round. It seemed like they had laid the foundation for what should have been not like a dynasty or anything, but certainly something more than what they are right now. And you look at some of the other more recent examples of teams that just thought they were on top of the world. The Houston Texans in 2023, the Commanders last year. The Patriots, I feel like, are starting to get to that point right now. Like, we have the quarterback, we have the coach, everything's fallen into place. Yep. Nothing can stop this train. And I know the Jets are not the same exactly. They were never 8-2, but they did have what they thought, and everybody thought, was this great foundation. And now here, 3 years later, it's completely crumbled on itself.
I would add Mike Vrabel's former team, right? 2019 AFC Championship game, number one seed the next year.
Right.
That fell apart pretty quickly, too.
Sure did. And there was one seed, the second to last season, his penultimate season in Tennessee, they were 7-3. And then they lost out.
Yeah.
And they ended up 7-10, which, again, I'm not comparing to this year or anything like that. It was Tannehill, and then he got hurt, and it was Malik Willis and Josh Dobbs, ironically. He was a backup on that team. I think he got a starter, too. We were just talking about this last night. But, yeah, that is just something to keep an eye on. You know, good times never seem so good until they're not good anymore. But in this case, I think you have a lot more to hang your hat on than some of those teams did. And also, you know, if you make it to the AFC Championship game, you can worry about next year. Right now, this team, I think, should be all systems go. You know, like, forget the rebuild. Like, you're here now. You've arrived. You want to obviously keep improving and making the team better, but I think at this point we're 10 games into the season, and this team's right there at the front of the conversation.
And I think, like, if you ask me big picture, Arcan, is there anything that worries you about the Patriots rebuild? And it's the depth, right? They have quality starters at every position. Like, Spillane's a good linebacker. Gonzalez is good. I think Craig Woodson's good. Like, Milton Williams, obviously good. Like, we can go on, you know, Drake May, whatever. We can go on down the list. Diggs, Booty, those guys, Will Campbell. They have quality starters everywhere. They don't have a lot of depth. But that's on it. Like, that's a thing for the offseason. Like, you can go deep in the playoffs this year, and if you have a good free agency and good draft next year and you build up that depth, then boom, you're on your way. Like, that's where I think the Commanders have run into trouble this year. Obviously, Jaden Daniels got hurt. That's the headliner. But they didn't have a ton of depth last year. They stayed relatively healthy for most of the year. This year, Terry McLaurin's missed a lot of time. Other guys have missed time, and they're not, and obviously Daniels, and they're not quite as good. So can the Patriots survive injuries? Right now, probably not. So can they stay healthy? And if they do, then address all that depth in the offseason.
Yeah, and they do have, they've had some injuries lately. This is the third straight week now, and no Stevenson, no Booty tonight again, and a couple other guys who we'll get to certainly when we hear the final report there. We do have some people that we know are ruled out already, but we'll have the full extent of it here in just a bit. In the meantime, though, there is this little matter of the New York Jets and the state of this rivalry, which we'll get to here in just a moment. But first, Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman on the Dudes on Dudes podcast do not agree that this is going to be a close game.
Is this a trap game for the Patriots?
They're taking care of the bad teams, and they're playing at their level and not jumping down a level when playing those teams. And when you can play at that high level and prove it throughout the year, well, then guess what? There's no trap game. So I believe that they're going to go out there and dominate the Jets for that reason, because they know how to prepare and how to play at a high level constantly and consistently. So the Jets, I don't think they're going to score more than 10 points on Thursday Night Football. This is an easy game.
This should be a blowout.
Am I crazy, or did Gronk sound very lucid right there? Like, that was as concise and on the message as he's ever sounded, I think, ever before that I've heard him. I mean, really, that was pretty good analysis.
I think the Fox Sports viewing audience would benefit from more of that.
Maybe. And he's half right. I mean, they did blow out Tennessee. They blew out Cleveland. They didn't blow out Atlanta. They didn't blow out the Saints. They blew out the Panthers, but the Panthers aren't some bad team, I don't think.
I think they might have ended up...
And they lost to the Raiders, so...
They might have ended up blowing out the Saints. If Diggs didn't have that phantom OPI call, maybe they score another touchdown. And I'm not making excuses for them, but like, it felt like they were in control of the majority of that game. But you're right, they didn't blow them out. You're right.
All right, we'll get into more of this, and we'll take a look at the New York Jets gangrene. John Lyons here in studio with me. He'll be with me until 7 o'clock. It's the Christian Arcand Show here on WEEI. Here's Joe Braverman. He's got What's Trending.
Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Patriots taking on the Jets on Thursday Night Football from Gillette Stadium. Kickoff tonight is set for 8:15. We already have the injury report from yesterday. Running back Ramondre Stevenson's been ruled out with a toe injury. He'll miss his third straight game. Receiver Kayshon Boutte is out with a hamstring issue. Linebacker Christian Ellis has a hip injury. Austin Hooper has a concussion. They're all out. Two players listed as questionable. Defensive lineman Joshua Farmer and running back Terrell Jennings. The Pats did elevate linebacker Darius Harris and running back Dearness Johnson from the practice squad for tonight's game. On the other side for the Jets, receiver Garrett Wilson was officially ruled out and today was placed on injured reserve due to a right knee injury. Defensive lineman Harrison Phillips and Will McDonald IV are both questionable. The Bruins take their 7-game winning streak into Ottawa tonight against the Senators, the team who last the Bruins lost to on Monday, October 27th. Jonas Korpisalo will get the start in net for the Bees opposite old friend Linus Ullmark. Puck drop is set for 7 o'clock. Major League Baseball continues unveiling their award winners tonight from the 2025 season. It'll be the AL and the NL MVP. They'll be announced at 7 o'clock. Also news in baseball, Padres chairman John Seelish speculated that he could be selling his team in San Diego. And in NBA injury news, the Knicks' Jalen Brunson suffered a grade 1 ankle sprain. He is out indefinitely. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's What's Trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're one of the surprise teams just because of how they played last year. You have a young quarterback still, but you've seen Drake May, make such great progress in his second year. He's playing very confidently, throwing the ball down the field. That's what's been so impressive for him, is those deep shots and completing so many of them. But they're playing very confidently right now. Obviously, Coach Vrabel's done a great job getting them going. So they're going to be a fun team to watch down the stretch and see if they can keep this going. And as they get into big games and games that are going to, you know, decide possibly home field or making playoffs, can they still play at that high level? But I think they can. I think Drake May's kind of got that cool, calm behavior and attitude and playing style, and I think he'll continue to play at a high level.
Eli Manning. Why we're putting that evil on the audience right now, the Eli Manning evil, but he's high on the Patriots. Everyone's high on the Patriots, except for a couple of random people. Like Greg Olson said, he doesn't think they're contenders. Vegas doesn't really believe in them as Super Bowl contenders. They're still on the outside of the top 10, looking in odds-wise for the Super Bowl, which maybe you can explain this to me, Lyons. Why is it that Vegas doesn't have the Patriots in the top 10 of Super Bowl odds, and yet Drake May is at the top of the MVP odds and Mike Vrabel's at the top of the Coach of the Year odds? Why, and if it's, everyone's like, oh, it's a schedule. Well, why isn't the schedule affecting May and Vrabel and their odds for their awards? Why is it only affecting the team?
They don't believe in the rest of the roster. I think that's what it is. They think Drake May is playing so well, he's carrying guys like Kayshawn Booty and Stephon Diggs who aren't good, and Mike Vrabel is coaching so well, he's carrying guys like Harold Landry and Robert Spillane to be good players. Like, to me, that's
what... Do you think that?
I don't fully agree with that. Like, yeah. I put the Patriots outside my, like, top five Super Bowl contenders. I don't think they're, like, one of the elite teams.
I mean, they're behind the Broncos. They're behind the Colts. They're behind the Ravens. I mean, they're behind a lot of teams.
And I, yeah, and I would put
them... And everyone's behind the Chiefs, who's not even a playoff team.
And I would
right
put
now.
Them behind, you know, if you go to the NFC, you know, Philadelphia, Detroit, the Rams. So at that point, think about it, we just named six or seven teams, right? Not to go all 6-7 on you, but we just named... And I'm here between the hours of 6 and 7.
That's a good point,
but
yeah.
Not to go... That fault, but we did just name six teams that we have more faith in to win. And look, the Patriots.
Well, I didn't say that about. I don't think the Broncos and the Colts and all those teams. I consider them better.
See, the Broncos,
I think they're right
are,
on the same level.
Yeah,
I don't
the
think
Broncos there's... are weird because I think their defense is much better than the Patriots. I think their offensive line is better. I think their weapons are just as good, if not better. But their quarterback play is so much worse than the Patriots. Bo Nix has just been bad, especially the last month, and that's been kind of an equal. But then, like Sean Payton, Mike Vrabel. I don't know. Sean Payton's a Super Bowl winning coach. Like, he's really
true.
Good. So I might give the Broncos the overall edge there, but it's close. And look, the Patriots are an interesting spot because we talk about this, Arcan, like it's year one, right? Mike Vrabel, this rebuild, blah, blah, blah. But roster-wise, it's really kind of year three. If you, like Christian Gonzalez, Kayshawn Booty, and DeMario Douglas are drafted in 2023.
Yep.
Drake May was drafted in 2024. The rest of that draft sucked, but he was drafted in 2024.
Indeed.
And you look at a lot of these other guys, like Mike Onwenu's been here a long time. Christian Barmore has been here a long time. Like these, like Marcus Jones has been here since 2022. So it's,
yep,
it's maybe not fully. It's like if you want to meet me and say it's year two and a half of the rebuild, but it's not year one. And that's why, like I said to you last segment, I don't worry about their starters. I worry about their depth. If it was year one of a rebuild, their starters would suck too, right? Like,
right.
I'm not worried about their starters. I'm now worried about kind of the next phase, which is their depth.
Yeah, and the depth, which is stunted right, yeah, now because of those bad drafts that you mentioned.
Like,
I mean, that's why they don't have the roster filled out the way they want to, because a lot of those draft picks, which should be the depth pieces, are all gone.
Yeah, and I think like a good example is the other night. Like, the Eagles lost Lane Johnson for most,
right,
of that game, and they weren't good on offense, but they won the game. They found a way to win without that guy for most. Like, they had enough depth where they could survive. And,
yeah,
I don't know if the Patriots yet are at that. And I think that's why, like, to your point, Vegas has May and Vrabel so high, but the team itself more on the outside.
They have been able to win games with very shallow running back depth, right? I mean, you know, it was Travion Henderson and Jennings was hurt, so, you know, he really didn't have much else there. And it's not like the running backs did great. He had the two big runs, but other than that, it was a pretty tough game on the ground there. And wide receiver, I mean, with no Kayshawn Booty, that's a thinner room. You have Kyle Williams out there.
Second half of that Atlanta game when he went out, they didn't move the ball well.
Hardly at all. And I think that's not a coincidence. Like Drake May in the second half, he looks for Booty down the field.
Yeah.
Looks for Booty down the field. He does, but that is part of the offense. And McDaniel's having a chance in a whole week and now another 4 days or whatever to scheme up an offense without Booty in it and to try and highlight someone like Williams or more to Diggs or whatever it is that they end up doing. I guess we'll find out. I think it's going to be a big Hunter Henry night tonight.
I could see that.
I could see him going off tonight.
I could see the tight ends being a focus because I wonder what the Jets are going to do now. Because before, when you had Sauce Gardner, even when he was playing inconsistent, you could say, hey, you just go cover Stephon Diggs. We'll figure the rest out. Or you go cover Kayshawn Booty. Had he been active tonight, we'll figure the rest. Instead, so there's no Kayshawn Booty active, but there's no Sauce Gardner there. So what are they going to do? Like, I could see the middle of the field being open quite a bit for guys like, you know, Hunter Henry, even DeMario Douglas has weirdly become a deep threat over,
yeah,
the past month,
sure,
which I don't think anybody saw coming. But this might be a more traditional DeMario Douglas game where he gets 7 or 8 catches, mostly in the middle of the field, not really any deep shots.
I wonder if this game is going to be considered a revenge game for the Jets, and not because the Patriots kicked their ass for, you know, 15 straight games before that Belichick final game, which I had to go
there
back and look at. That's the last game I was at. That's the last game I attended live, was that Jets-Patriots, Belichick's last game.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson against Bailey Zappe in the snow.
17-3 final.
No, I had a bet that no one would score a touchdown in the whole game, and no one did until the very, very end, and I lost the bet, and I was mad. And everybody around me had to hear about it. But yeah, there's not been a lot of those. But for revenge on Mike Vrabel. Because if you'll remember, Mike Vrabel took an interview with the Jets 2 days before that Patriots-Bills game. And then after that game, they fired Gerard Mayo and they started the process to go hire him. And he was clearly leveraging the Jets to try and force the Patriots' hand, which they did, in which it all worked out. Maybe not for Gerard Mayo, but it worked out for everybody else and certainly worked out for us. And I wonder if the Jets feel a type of way about that.
How much of that do you really buy?
What?
Like,
he took the interview, didn't he?
Right, but was he realistically going to take the Jets job in any... Like, think about it. They didn't have a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Their roster was okay, not great.
Well, he didn't know that they were going to move on from Mayo. I mean, that Mayo was tied at the hip to Robert Kraft.
Sure.
That was a shock when he fired him because everyone thought, oh, well, he's not going to do that. He already stuck his reputation on Gerard Mayo. Like, he's not just going to fire him after 1 year. Everyone was surprised by that. I mean, we all agreed it should have happened, but we were surprised when it actually did. So, Vrabel making a... Plan B doesn't seem like the craziest thing in the world.
I just think even, let's say the Patriots keep Gerard Mayo. I mean, the Jaguars' job would have been more attractive for Mike Vrabel. They have a real quarterback. There's better. They had a higher draft pick. And, of course, if we believe now that Vrabel is in charge of the front office, really, then, I mean, Jacksonville had a high pick. Like, he could have been in charge.
True.
Like, there's other jobs
could
out there.
Travis Hunter.
Exactly. Like, there's the Chicago Bears job would have been more attractive than the Jets' job.
But would they have wanted him? Because he was a free agent and no one hired him. After he got fired by Tennessee, a whole coaching cycle went through and no one hired him either. Or Bill Belichick.
And I think it's a fair point, but I think he would have been attractive. If the Patriots job had not opened, I don't think Mike Vrabel would have ended up coach of the Jets. I think it would have been the Bears or the Jaguars. And maybe the Bears had their hearts set on Ben Johnson, division rival guy. But like I said, I use the Jaguars as an example. Like the Cowboys. Like Jerry Jones would have hired Mike Vrabel over Brian Schottenheimer.
You think?
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the sexy
I thought
name.
That he was going to hire Bill over another year of McCarthy, and he stuck with McCarthy.
That was a huge mistake.
I honestly, if that timeline had happened, I think that the Bill Belichick conversation would be so different.
Oh, the Cowboys would be good with him.
They'd be good.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as weird that he has a 24-year-old girlfriend because he'd be there with
She'd
Jerry.
She'd be the cheerleading coach.
Right?
The Cowboys
cheerleaders. That would be like the second weirdest old guy in the organization.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it wouldn't have been that weird. Yeah. I wonder. Because like
I'm trying
the Jets,
to think of what other jobs opened last offseason, but... Point being, like, I don't see, did the Jets want him? Maybe. Sure, yeah, they wanted him. I just think if you're Mike Vrabel, okay, you're 50 years old, you've already been fired once as a head coach, you had a good run but got fired, do you want your second and maybe last chance to be somewhere where Justin Fields is going to be? An organization that can't get out, they haven't been able to get out of their own way since Rex Ryan was
there. That's
true. Like, the last time they had a good year was 20-10. Like, it's a long time ago.
God, yeah.
Like, is that really where Mike Vrabel would have been better off staying in Cleveland, seeing if Kevin Stefanski gets hired and being the interim guy? That, like, really? Like, I just don't know if that was really realistic from Mike Vrabel.
I don't think he wanted to spend another season as a head coach.
But I don't know
how many opportunities there were. I don't know how high his stock was. It did end pretty ugly in Tennessee. He did sort of turn his back on that team and go to New England and say, I love it here, and this is a great organization. I'm sure other owners talked, and they were like, there was a reason why he didn't get hired that first cycle. I think it had a lot to do with that.
Like, even the Saints, I'd probably take Spencer Rattler over Justin Fields. And I know Rattler got benched.
I definitely would.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just I just don't see – like, okay, he took the interview, whatever. I just don't know – and maybe they can be pissed that he never really wanted the job. I just don't see that as being – realistic.
Yeah, maybe, but it did seem to spur the Patriots into action.
But that might be true too. Yeah. Maybe Robert Kraft was like, oh crap, I gotta fire Mayo after this game and get Vrabel in here.
Yeah. Who do we have talking about this, Joe? Sorry, I know you just told me.
This is Connor Hughes from SNY.
Connor Hughes, SNY, on that interview.
The Jets interviewed Mike Vrabel, man, and I cannot express how much they loved him and they wanted him. Like he was their 1-1. They wanted Mike Vrabel more than anything else, so much so that I heard that when he was on his way to take the Patriots job, they made a last-second call to say, is there anything we can do to give you this job? Full control, more money, what do you want? What can we do to change your mind? And truthfully, I know this from talking to people close to Vrabel. He did not use the Jets as this toy. He wasn't just playing with them just to have some fun and then shipping them off and completely ignoring them. He was as interested in the Jets as the Jets were interested in him. And if the Patriots job had not opened, I genuinely believe that Mike Vrabel was going to take the Jets job.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you believe? I mean, you know, I think, too. To say that he wasn't toying with the Jets, I think is pretty ridiculous. You're telling me he didn't go to that Hall of Fame thing and have a wink nod agreement with Robert Kraft right then, that very day, that thing that Strunk got all upset about? You're telling me there wasn't some groundwork laid there already? Like, they had no idea? Come on.
And also, why did the Tennessee thing implode more than anything else? Arthur Smith left. Ryan Tannehill regressed, then got hurt. He didn't have a quarterback. Like, he's got to look at the Jets and say...
He clashed with the GM, right?
But even beyond that, like... I mean, if he clashed with Elliot Wolf here, but Drake May's here, he might stick around just for Drake May. You know, and he'd probably stuff Elliot Wolf into a locker anyway.
Sure.
But, like, he saw how things ended in Tennessee. Yeah, they took A.J. Brown away from him. Arthur Smith left. Ryan Tannehill regressed. Like, he probably looked at a situation and said, you know what? I got a young ascending quarterback who's good. I'll have Josh McDaniels here who's legit. I'll be fine, and I can figure everything else out.
617-779-7937 is your phone number. You can text the show at that number as well. It's the Christian Arcan Show. John Lyons is here. He's sticking around for as long as he feels like sticking around for. Definitely one more segment, maybe more. But yeah, we'll get to your phone calls again at 617-779-7937 right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
What's the one way that tonight's game could either throw a scare into the Patriots or see the Jets actually, I don't know, kind of like rattle their cage?
Just quirky, explosive plays would be the way that I would interpret it. And then, you know, May had a pick last week, but it was not a sloppy pick, a questionable pick in that, you know, maybe to err on the side of caution. But it wasn't a horrendously thrown ball. A guy made an incredible play and catch on it. So I don't expect a reversion by May to making bad throws or bad decisions. They would have to be uncharacteristically, the Patriots, inefficient for the Jets to get more than 13 points.
Tommy Kern, on WEEI Afternoons, asked, what would it take for the Jets to score 13 points? What's the road to 13 look like? And according to Kern, the Patriots would have to be uncharacteristically, not historically, but uncharacteristically inefficient for that to happen. It's the Christian Arcan Show here. John Lyons on hand as well. We got the phones open at 617-779-7937. We'll get to your phone calls in just a moment. But I do want to touch on that a little bit. The Patriots, offensively anyway, have shown flashes of inconsistency. They've had, or maybe not inconsistency, but inefficiency. You've seen some of these fourth quarters, they have a lead. Sometimes they're sitting on a lead and it's no big deal. Sometimes the game's a little closer than it needs to be, and the offense isn't exactly humming. It's not, you know, it's not clock killing Corey Dillon out there running the clock out. You know, it's a different type of league, first of all, but certainly an offense that in some ways is still trying to find itself and find its identity. Drake May's playing great, but it's not as though he's putting up 400 yards every week. You know, you're getting good, efficient, deep balls and good accuracy and all of that stuff, but you know, the eye-popping numbers are the completion percentage. You know, the eye-popping numbers are the passer rating. It's not like you're giving 400 or 500 yards. It's not like you're seeing him light it up from, you know, quarter one to quarter four.
Yeah, and we saw even last week against Tampa Bay, they had the one long drive, which was terrific.
Right.
Their other three touchdowns were all over 50 yards. And look, I'm not going to sit here and complain about 50-yard touchdowns. But as we said,
50-yard touchdowns.
You can't rely on doing that every week, right? And we saw, again, against Atlanta, the second half, they were really quiet. They had a stretch in the game against Cleveland that they were, I think it was like the mid to late second quarter. They were pretty quiet there during that stretch. So, like, they'll do even the first half of the Buffalo game. Mm-hmm. They were really quiet until that last drive, and then they hit, I think it was the Stephon Diggs, like, 34-yard catch across the middle, and it felt like everything got kind of rolling after that. But, you know, they were quiet up until then. So we've seen some stretches of that, and, like, don't know, the Jets getting the 13 points, like the guy I'm worried about is Breece Hall, not just because he's their best player, but in Pro Football Focus actually had the stat today. I got to give them credit. Patriots have given up 59 catches to running backs this year, which is the most in the NFL. He had the 40-yard screen pass touchdown last week. He's good in space. Like, to me, if you're asking what's the recipe for them to score 13, he has a big catch and run at some point, sets up a touchdown, maybe another one. Like, to me, that's the path for it. Because I don't expect the Patriots to give up two return touchdowns like the Browns did last week.
Yeah, Patriots have good special teams for the most part. Yeah. They're considered good. They got good kicking game, good return game. I think good coverage game. I don't see them giving up at the whole bunch of big returns
either. They gave
up
the one kickoff, the punt return against the Dolphins.
Right.
And that's been...
The game, and then Gibson had one.
He won
and then,
immediately after. So, I don't know. That's the only game I can think of they really gave up, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, big game for Travion Henderson, and he's going to be getting the ball a lot. It sounded like that was going to be the game plan here going forward. He's going to be your main back. He had the two big runs, but as you mentioned, and a lot of people have mentioned, the rest of the game for him was a bit of a struggle. He doesn't exactly stay on his feet. Like a stiff breeze knocks that kid over sometimes, and you notice that certainly over the first month plus of the year as he was struggling to find his footing. Meanwhile, all these other rookie running backs are out there killing it, you know, like, yeah, Judkins and Genty and Scataboo and all these other guys out there really playing well. And it seemed like for Henderson, it wasn't quite coming at the same rate. Now, that first touchdown, that was, I'd say, largely him. The second one, the Tonga truck comes through and takes out the entire defensive line. Now, he started off on the corner and then basically bowled over the rest of the line when they were chasing him. And Henderson had enough speed to get past the safety and sort of everybody else down the sideline. But that was a... That was a great play. Like, Tonga on that play was one of my favorite plays of the year, honestly.
I would even say the first one. I mean, Henderson was barely touched. That was a terrific block. Mac Hollins on that play, speaking of good blocking, awesome on that play. And I think, look.
What a find he's been, huh?
Yeah. I think, and you know what? He is, and this receiver group is, they all complement each other really well. Like, last year, probably the worst receiver group in the NFL. This year, let's be honest, they're probably 18th, 20th. Like, but that's still a big jump from a year ago. And they all, DeMario Douglas does things Mac Hollins doesn't do. Stephon Diggs has the all-around game that Kayshon Booty doesn't have. But Kayshon Booty does things that other guys don't do. Like, they all complement each other well. And I think, look, the Henderson experience on Sunday, that's kind of, at this point in his career, what the Henderson experience is going to be. He's going to get 15 touches a game. Two or three of them are going to be explosive plays, and the rest are going to be average to below average plays. I think just the way he's built, the way he plays, that's going to be the Henderson experience for his rookie season. Now, next year, maybe I think you'll see more of that in between the tackles, gaining 6 or 7 yards here and there on first and 10. But for now, hey, can he have a 25-yard run? Can he have an 18-yard run? And then a bunch of 3-yard runs and then maybe a 40-yard run? Like, that, to me, what you saw on Sunday is kind of – and that's why Stevenson is still so important to this team.
Oh, definitely.
Because that they complement each other so well.
And also because they didn't trade for another running back at the deadline, which I feel like they certainly
Terrell Jennings, look, he scored the touchdown against the Falcons. I get it. But he's not giving you what Stevenson gives you.
No, certainly not. The Jets don't have Sauce Gardner. He got traded away. Quentin Williams traded away. They don't have Garrett Wilson. He's on IR. So what do they have? They have a decent offensive line. Like, their guards are pretty good. Their tackles are both very young. I think they drafted both tackles in the last two drafts in the first round. They do have some decent players up front. I don't know if McDonald's Will McDonald playing tonight? Do we know? I know he was questionable. He's pretty good. He's got like 7 or 8 sacks this year. Johnson and Williams, Briggs in the middle. They're not horrible, you know. Like, they still have some position groups and areas of the field that you don't want to mess with if you're trying to attack that team offensively or defensively. But all in all, I mean, it's
McDonald is in.
Yeah, McDonald's playing. Okay. So, I mean, he's not a guy that you can just – and you think about, like, well, if they're going to be able to make this a game, how are they going to do it? Blindside sack and a fumble, a strip sack or something like that. Can they make Drake May move his feet when he doesn't want to and throw a bad ball like he did at the end of the Bucs game after getting popped on the sideline there by Tyke Smith? Would you say that there's been enough film out on Drake May right now that even a team like the Jets might be able to put a game plan together for him or no?
Well, they might know what to do. It's right. can they actually do it, right? You know, and look, I think if you want to beat Drake May, it's can you cover the deep ball, force him to beat you underneath, and will he have the patience to do it? And at times we've seen him have the patience to do it. At other times we haven't seen him have. And can you get him to turn the ball over?
Right.
And I just don't know if the Jets have the guys to do that. And the problem, too, with the Jets is, let's say that works, and they hold the Patriots to 21 points. I mean, can they score 22? Like, realistically, like, I don't know. Do they have the guys to score more than 21 points? I don't know if I see. And I know they scored 27 last week, but again, 14 of them were on kick and punt returns.
It's true.
So I don't know if they have those guys. So can they slow him down a little bit? Potentially. I don't have nearly as much faith as like the Bucs doing it, or, you know, maybe like the Ravens doing it in a couple of weeks, depending on how Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton look in that game. So yeah, I don't know.
I'm telling you, that's rich.
I just saw this online, and I know that you'd been doing some work on it here. Rob Gronkowski going to be honored tonight. He's going to be the keeper of the, what is it, the keeper of the?
Keeper of the light.
Of the light. I keep getting that wrong. I keep saying the keeper of the bell. He rings the bell, but he's the keeper of the light up there in the lighthouse. They're going to do something for him at halftime. And the one-day contract, which he signed yesterday, is that still in effect? Is he still technically a Patriot right now?
Is it a 24-hour contract? Has the one-day expired? I think it expires at midnight.
Yeah. Oh, it expired at midnight last night?
I think so.
I don't know exactly.
Kraft did want a second
Yeah, he wanted a two-day contract.
A two-day contract. So the current New England Patriot, Rob Gronkowski, maybe.
You know what? I really would love one day for that to actually happen. Like, a guy signs a one-day contract on game day, plays, retires.
Hunter Henry, like breaks his leg in the locker room, and it's like, Gronk, we need you.
Yeah.
How about a two-day contract?
Get out there. Rob Gronkowski, greatest tight end of all time?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
And I think, to me, it's the – and look, he didn't play as long as Tony Gonzalez. He hasn't played – you know, Travis Kelce will end up putting up better numbers than him. I think it's the game-by-game dominance. And also, and this is something a lot of people don't care about, the blocking ability was at another – like, Travis Kelce, all due respect, not a very good blocker in any phase. Rob Gronkowski was elite. Rob Gronkowski blocked as well as some offensive tackles.
Yeah,
and he was also
very good.
And he could also run a seam route and score a 70-yard touchdown against the Giants in 2015. Like, he could do both of those things. So I think so. And I think, again, he will never have the pure overall numbers, but the game-by-game basis, how dominant he was in some playoff games, and the blocking, to me, sets him apart.
Gronk was the best at his peak out of those three, out of him, Gonzalez, and Kelce.
Yeah.
Gronk at his peak, I'd take him over those other two, but we're not talking about his
like
peak. We're talking about
Gronk
the entire career. I don't know how you can't give it to Gonzalez, because Gonzalez's quarterbacks that he played with, Gronk had Brady the entire time. He had 90 of the 92 touchdowns were thrown to him by Tom Brady. Kelce has had Mahomes and Alex Smith. He had good numbers with Smith, too, but it's mostly been Mahomes for him, one of the other great all-time guys. And you look at the, you know, clowns that Tony Gonzalez was playing with, outside of Matt Ryan, it was good, but that was at the end of his career. Trent Green, Brody Croyle, Elvis Gerbat, you know, like, it's these guys who suck. Like, he was out there putting up huge numbers with those guys. So I give it to Tony. That's always been my take on it. Gronk's a close second. I have Kelce third.
And I think Gonzalez, what he played 270 games, right? And Gronk only played 143. A lot of that was injuries. Like, what would Gronk numbers look like if he was healthy all of 2016?
Sure.
That was a Super Bowl
different
team. You know what I mean? Like, so,
and what would Gonzalez's numbers look like if he had Tom Brady? You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That's another thing.
So, I don't want to penalize Gonzalez for playing a long time, because that would be stupid. I just think on a pure dominance game by game, Gronk was the best of the three. I mean, I'm not going to, like, disagree with your Gonzalez.
Well, you got to disagree. It's the whole point. It's what we're doing here.
But
I need someone to yell at other than Joe. You know?
That's true. But no, to me, it's Gronk, and it's a game-by-game dominance and the blocking. Just the other two guys didn't have. And Gonzalez is a good blocker, but Gronk was a terror to opponents.
He was. All right, you're going to stick around for a little bit?
You know what?
Here.
I wasn't going to, but since you asked so nicely.
Hell yeah.
I'll stay for the first segment of the 7
John Lyons
hour.
Sticking around for a little OT here as we get you ready for kickoff, Patriots and the Jets. It's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.